If you have the Chumash, open up to Parshas Nitzavim, Perek Lamed, and we'll start with Pasuk Yud Aleph, and we'll see that the Torah is pointing to a mitzvah, a mitzvah zos. It sounds like we're talking about one singular mitzvah. And then it says, Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Yom, that I've commanded you today, on this day. And we don't know which day it is. So we don't know which particular mitzvah, and we don't know which particular day. And the Ramban is going to give us an entire presentation on this, which you'll see on number 7. But basically, by way of introduction to today's discussion, I want to say the following. This section, this unit, from Pasuk Yud Aleph to Pasuk Yud Dalet, should be seen within a broader context of Perek Lamed. Perek Lamed discusses the ultimate Geula, the redemption. And in the course of this presentation, you'll see in Pasuk Beis, V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. So even before we get to Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, in which God is gathering together the exiles, which is the Geula, and in Pasuk Hei, he's bringing us to the Eretz Asher Yoshva Avosecha V'Yirishta, we're going to inherit the land. Even before that, almost as a precondition, we have the mitzvah of Tshuva. And in fact, the Ramban is of the opinion that V'shavta is B'loshem Tzivui, and that mandates Tshuva.
Where is that?
That's Perek Lamed Pasuk Beis, on page 504 in the Blue Chumash, 504. You see the word v'shavta? Pasuk Beis, v'shavta. So the Rambam has a whole different understanding of what's going on here in Perek Lamed of Parshas Nitzavim. From his perspective, we're not dealing with the mitzvah of tshuva. In fact, let's raise a pretty revolutionary question. Is there a mitzvah of tshuva? And the Rambam's answer seems to be no. Pashtus in the Rambam indicates that there's no mitzvah of tshuva. Look at the Rambam in his opening paragraph, which is number 1 on your page, to Hilchas Tshuva, kol mitzvos shevatora, bein aseh, bein los aseh, im ovar odom al achas miyam, bein bezodom bein bishkog, kisheyaseh tshuva. Please underline those two words. Kisheyasu Yasu Tshuva. The Rambam doesn't say Chayav Loshuv B'Tshuva. That's how the Ramban would have written these words, because the Pasuk V'Shavta in our Parsha, but rather if he does Tshuva, or when he does Tshuva, V'Yoshuv Micheto, he leaves the sin behind him. Now the Rambam all of a sudden reminds himself that he's got to answer the question, well, what mitzvah are we dealing with? What obligation is it? Chayav lisvados lefnei Hakel Baruch Hu. So my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik in his Yartzeit Shiur, not in the Yartzeit Shiur, actually, is the Bein Kessel also in his Tshuva Drasha, which he used to give a public lecture during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva every year. He spoke a lot about this Rambam, and he always raised the question, does the Rambam omit the mitzvah of tshuva? And again, he worked overtime to try to prove that that's an untenable position, that's an impossibility. But all the mefarshim that deal with this Rambam said that the simple reading of the Rambam implies that there is no mitzvah of tshuva, which means we're going to have to go back to the pasuk v'shavta es Hashem v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha in our parshas Nitzavim. We're going to have to reinterpret those words, not the way the Ramban understood it, that it's a mitzvah. And we'll soon see the Ramban inside, because again, we started, if you recall, with Pasuk Yud Aleph, which is on page 505. And there the Ramban is going to say, Ki HaMitzvah Zos is referring back to Vishavto Ad Hashem Elokecha, the mitzvah of tshuva. And that's the mitzvah that's being specified. But the Rambam doesn't have that possibility, because the Rambam is of a different opinion. The Rambam is of the opinion that the mitzvah is not tshuva, but rather what? Vidui. The Rambam counts vidui as a mitzvah, but not tshuva. Another, by the way, interesting point in the Rambam, which is not for us today, is what's lifnei hakel baruch hu? Is the Rambam coming lafuke other religions where, you know, you don't recite vidui in front of God, but in front of man, if you know what I'm talking about. We won't go into details about that. But the Rambam says that our Avida is Lifnei Akel Baruch Hu. We're not sure exactly why the Rambam feels compelled to tell us. And then, which is the source, which is the parasha in the Torah that generates the mitzvah, the chiyuv of vidui? It's the parasha in Vayikra of karban. Karban means that if a person violates a certain avera, in certain cases, he has to bring what kind of karban? Karban chatos, or in other cases, a karban asham. And in that parasha, the Torah says, ish o isha ki yasu mikol chatos ha'adam, etc., etc. V'ashma nefesh ahi, and then it says, v'svadu es chatosam asher asu. The Rambam sees in that pasuk a source for the mitzvah of vidui. We're not even in Parshas Nitzavim now, my friends. Zeh vidui dvarim, vidui zeh mitzvah saseh. There are at least three or four diyukim in the Rambam, if you're careful about it, that indicate that the Rambam doesn't have a source for the mitzvah of tshuva, and therefore he doesn't codify the mitzvah of tshuva. He says, kishayasa tshuva. And what is the mitzvah? And now again, we're not in Parshas Tshuva or Parshas Geula, we're rather in Parshas Karbon, and there the Torah says that when you bring your Karbon, you have to recite Vidui, and the Rambam says that's not just a mitzvah in Hilchas Karbonos, although that's the original mitzvah of Vidui is in Karbonos, but rather it's a general mitzvah that applies whenever there's a Machayev. A Machayev means a background, like for example Zman in the case of Dalet Minim or Sukkah is a Machayev. You know, you get to the 15th day of Tishrei and that engenders a chiyuv of Sukkah or a chiyuv of Lulav. What engenders the chiyuv of Vidui? And the Rambam says it's not just the Karman but rather Tshuva. When you do Tshuva, then you chayev in Vidui. This is a very odd mechanics here according to the Rambam. You have to decide whether you want to do Tshuva. I would recommend that you avail yourself of that possibility, because if you don't do tshuva, then chas v'shalom you'll suffer the punishment. So it might be a good idea to do tshuva, but nobody is mandating that you do tshuva. But if you do tshuva, at that point you become chayev in the midst of vidui. So the Rambam uses the word chayev exclusively for vidui. Number two, the Rambam derives that mitzvah from a parasha in Karban. It has nothing to do with a mitzvah of tshuva, it's simply a mitzvah of vidui. And number three, the Rambam's language of kishayase tshuva seems to indicate that the Rambam does not invoke this parasha Nitzavim as the source for the mitzvah of tshuva. He doesn't have a mitzvah of tshuva, so he's going to have to reinterpret the entire purpose of this parasha, which is Perek Lamed of Sefer Dvarim. But before we get to that, I just want to point out to you the myriad of commentaries on the Rambam that all admit to the following strange conclusion, that the simple reading of the Rambam indicates that there is no mitzvah of tshuva, there's only a mitzvah of vidu. For example, the Mishnas Yavitz, he was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, he died I think about 10-15 years ago. His name is Rav Bezal Zsolti. I don't know, does anybody here ever hear of him? You heard of Rav Zsolti? So he wrote a very extensive work called the Mishnas Yavitz. And in Orach Chaim Siman Nun Dalet, he writes, Mashma mi divrei Rambam, she'etzem ha'tshuva eino mitzvah saseh. So it's not just Berzon, it's right here in the Achronim. He says, kishayase tshuva yoshu michetu chayv lesvados. So the vidui is the mitzvah saseh. The mitzvah saseh is vidui, but not tshuva. The Minchas Chinuch, in mitzvah shin samach dalet, which is the mitzvah of vidui, points this out as well. He says, Ayin Rama Milchus Tshuva Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Ad Sof Halacha, Nira Linius Daitim Yidivri Arava Machab, the mitzvah say, Kan, Eina Tshuva. The mitzvah is not Tshuva, Rak, Havidu Vipeh. The Gzeres HaKosavi, Di'im Misnachem Me Hachet, when he regrets his sin, Tzorach Lisvados Befonot.
Befith,
he has to recite Vidu Vipeh, Kechol Mitzvah say, Shetluya Bedibur. Kigon kriyachma vidomea. So the mitzvah is a recitation of dibur, of kriya, and that's vidu. And the Mishnah Siyavitz, now in the second section here, that's number four on your page, quotes the Minchas Chinuch as a support text for his reading of the Rambam, that tshuva itself is not a mitzvah saseh, But if he comes and he does tshuva and he regrets what he did in the past, his averos, then he has an obligation of vidui b'peh. If he never does tshuva, is he in violation of the fact that he didn't do tshuva? The answer is anal of onesh. He doesn't have a punishment because he was never obligated in tshuva. Tshuva was never obligatory. But now the question becomes, what do we do with Parshas Nitzav? So first of all, in Parshas Nitzav we have page 504, we have page 505. On page 504, which is the beginning of Perek Lamed, in Pasuk Beis, we have Veshavta Ad Hashem Elokecha. And that, according to the Ramban, is the Mitzvah of Tshuva. The Rambam doesn't have a Mitzvah of Tshuva. So how is the Rambam going to learn Veshavta Ad Hashem Elokecha in Pasuk Beis? And number two, what about the second part of this parasha, which starts on Pasuk Yud Aleph, and it says, Ki HaMitzvah Zos. How's the Rambam learning HaMitzvah Zos? The Ramban is going to insist, as we'll soon see, that it's a reference to the Mitzvah of Tshuva, but the Rambam doesn't have a Mitzvah of Tshuva. So what Mitzvah are we talking about? So in order to answer these questions, I want to show you a different Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva. We're fast forwarding from the opening Rambam in Perek Aleph to the seventh Perek of Hilchas Tshuva, which you'll see here on your page number 8. Says the Rambam, Kol HaNeviim Kulam Tzivu Ala Tshuva. In other words, the Torah never obligated us in the midst of Tshuva, but the Neviim commanded us to do Tshuva. Why? Because the Neviim are in charge of the benefit, the well-being of Klal Yisrael. Now, if a person doesn't do tshuva for his averus, what's going to happen to him? That's one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. He's going to be punished, correct? He's going to be punished. We believe in Schar V'Onesh. But on a collective level, if the people of Israel as a collective entity don't do tshuva, then what's going to happen is that Klal Yisrael will remain in Golos. And that's the next line of the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Ein Yisrael nigolim ela b'tshuva." That the process of redemption is not absolute; it's not a given. It's contingent, contingent upon tshuva, because "Ein Yisrael nigolim ela b'tshuva." So, if there's no tshuva, there's no geula. So, the Nevi'im, who were really, you know, they were the Lubavitchers, so to speak, of their time. You know, we want Mashiach now, right? Kind of guys. I don't mean that in a pejorative way, but since the Nevi'im wanted to make sure that the Mashiach would come and we'd get to Geula, we had enough suffering and anguish in Golos, they encouraged the people of Israel collectively to do tshuva, because Ein Yisrael Nigolim Ela B'tshuva. Now the Rambam has a problem, because if you're telling me that Geula is contingent, then will there be a Geula or will there not be a Geula? Now the Rambam writes in the Yud Gimel Ikrim that Geula, the redemption, is one of the 13 principles of the faith. So if I'm going to answer you, I don't know, maybe there will be a Geula, maybe there won't be a Geula, I'm in deep trouble. Then I become what's called a kofar. And the Rambam has all sorts of dinim that apply to a kofar. I don't want to be a scoffer, a denier. I want to be in the fold and not outside the fold. So I have to believe in Geula. But how can I believe in the Geula if you're telling me that the Geula is contingent? Maybe Klal Yisrael won't do tshuva. And that's what the Rambam comes to answer here, and this is the whole thrust of Parshas Nitzavim according to the Shitas Rambam. Kvar hivticha Torah shesof Yisrael lasos b'tshuva. You know why I can believe in Geula? Do you know why I'm guaranteed the Geula will take place? Because the Torah has promised us that Klal Yisrael will do tshuva. And therefore that contingency is a funny kind of contingency. It's not if they'll do tshuva.
It's when
they do tshuva, because they will do tshuva. B'sof galusam, at the end of the period of diaspora, of exile. Umiyad he'negolim. Immediately following the geula, the tshuva of the collective entity of Klali, so there will be geula. Shenemar, and here the Rambam quotes the beginning of Perek Lamed, of that section that we saw on page 504 in Parshas Nitzavim. And the Torah says, "V'haya ki yavoet alecha." This is Pasuk Aleph here in Perek Lamed. "V'haya ki yavoet alecha kol advarim ha'ele Habrocha v'aklol, he's referring to the previous parashios, parasha Re'eh and the parasha of Kisavo. There the Torah spoke about brocha and klola. And when these things will happen, will come to pass, asher nasati lufanech v'ashivosa el levavcha b'chol ha'goyim asher yidachecha Hashem elokecha shomo. You're out there in the exile, in the far-flung corners of the earth, in a state of exile, with all the repercussions, and so many terrible things are going to befall the Jewish people, is then the Torah promises v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. Okay, v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. And what's going to bring about this tshuva, which the Torah is now promising? So it's not v'shavta as a mandate, as a chiyuv. That's the way the Ramban will understand the word v'shavta. But rather it's a prediction or a divine promise that we, the people of Israel, will in fact do tshuva. And what's going to bring us to that state of tshuva? Because in Pasuk Aleph, the previous Pasuk says, Vashivosel Levavecha, we're going to reconnect to our lave, to the lave of Klal Yisrael, and realize that what's going on over here, we're stuck here in the Golis amongst the Goyim, and we're not having exactly a great time. And then after Vashivosa, Elavavecha, etc., etc., then Vishavta Hashem Elkecha, we're going to return to in Tshuva, Vishamata Bekolo, Kechol Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Yom. We will be absolutely committed to fulfill all the commands of Hashem that He's given us today. And then Vishav Hashem Elkecha Shvuscha V'Yirchamecha. Now the Geula takes place, and God will bring about the ingathering of the exiles. Vishav Hashem Elkecha Eshvuscha V'Yirchamecha Vishav Vishav V'Kibetzcha Mikol Amim Asher Fitzcha Hashem Elkecha Shoma. So the whole story here in Parshas Nitzav and Perek Lamed is all about the future and the Geula and the promise that Tshuva will become a reality, it will take place, and that will be the fulfillment of the condition necessary for the Geula. The Geula will take place immediately on the footsteps, on the heels of the national Tshuva, which Hashem promises will take place. So the Rambam basically has wheeled himself out of this problem. He asked me how I can believe in redemption if redemption itself is conditional. The answer is that condition will definitely be fulfilled. Don't have any doubts about it. And if you know, based on this divine promise, that v'shavta Hashem, okay, the people will return to Hashem, then you know for sure that there will be a geula. And now we have to figure out how the Rambam will explain the second half of this parasha in Nisavim, Perek Lamed, where the Torah says, Ki ha mitzvah zos, etc., etc., lo niflesi mimcha v'lo rechokehi. In a sense, the Torah is now telling us that although we're not obligated in tshuva, we will do tshuva as a collective entity at the end of our golus. And now the Torah is encouraging us to do tshuva, just as the Nevi'im will encourage us down the line through the centuries to do tshuva. So that when the Rambam says in Perek Zayin, Kol ha-Nevi'im kulam tzivu ala tshuva, meaning the Nevi'im, as the lovers of Klal Yisrael, want to bring about this day in which the condition for Geula will be a reality. And what's the condition for Geula? Tshuva. So the Nevi'im will now command us on tshuva. Now again, I don't think that necessarily means that every single mitzvah that we should be encouraged to fulfill is because we want to bring about the Geula. That may be a valid approach in certain Hasidic circles, but one thing I can promise you, that we should encourage the people regarding one particular area of behavior in order to bring about the Geula, and that's tshuva. Because tshuva is the key and the prerequisite for Geula. And it's critical to end this terrible period of Golus, that the people of Israel awaken themselves or the Nevi'im and the Bali Musa will awaken them to do tshuva. In fact, the Rambam in the third parak of Hilchos Tshuva claims that the shofar itself that we blow on Rosh Hashanah is meant to awaken us to do tshuva. Comes out according to the Shitas HaRambam, there's no mitzvah of tshuva. We need tshuva. We should be encouraged to do tshuva. The Torah tells us, Lo bashamayim hi, lo rechoka mimecha, lo nifleisi mimcha, lo rechoka hi. It's not such a difficult thing. We have it within our power, within our reach to do tshuva. And if we step up to the plate, as they say, we do tshuva, then we'll have immediately the geul. That's the way the Rambam understands this parash. The Ramban has a different understanding of the parash. The Ramban, and we mentioned it a few days ago, says that v'shavta Hashem Elokecha is a mandate obligating us in tshuva. And if a person doesn't do tshuva, he's being mevatel of mitzvah saseh. He's held liable and punishable for non-tshuva, for the absence of tshuva. Now, that's as far as v'shavta Hashem Elokecha, which is a mandate in Pasuk Beis. Now we fast forward to Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ki a mitzvah azos, and the Ramban now wants to understand what is this mitzvah azos. It seems like there's some sort of specific mitzvah, and in truth here in Sefer Dvarim, which we're almost towards the end of Sefer Dvarim, there's just a few pages left here in my chumash. We're almost holding my Simchas Torah here. In all of Sefer Dvarim, we have lots and lots of mitzvahs. Hundreds of mitzvahs. So what is this pasuk that says, Ki a mitzvah zos? After Moshe Rabbeinu gave us so many myriads of mitzvahs, now he says, Ki a mitzvah zos? What mitzvah are we dealing with? Says the Ramban, and this you'll see in number 7 on your page, V'tam, and the meaning of quote-unquote Ki a mitzvah zos, Al kol ha-Torah kula, that despite the fact that the word mitzvah is in singular, it's referring to the entire corpus of the Torah as one entity. All the commandments of the Torah. In other words, this is what you call, in fancy English, a collective noun. That's called ha-mitzvah zos. Sometimes it's written in singular, but it's a noun that refers to an entire corpus, an entire collection, and a unit. And the unit here, called mitzvah, is all the commandments of the Torah. So in other words, according to the Ramban, at this particular point in his presentation, Pasuk Yud Aleph is an immediate continuation of Pasuk Yud. Let's look at Pasuk Yud on the top, page 505. Ki sishma v'kol Hashem olkech lishmar mitzvosav v'chukosav haksuva v'sefer Torah zos. So now the pasuk is relating to the entire corpus of mitzvos, whether they're called mitzvos or chukim, right? Mitzvos of a chukosav, haksuva b'sefer Torah zos, and it means the entire corpus of all tariag mitzvos. And the next pasuk is ki mitzvah zos, and that's the collective noun of ha mitzvah, which refers to kol ha-Torah kula. But after the Ramban presents that thesis, he backs down. And how do I know he changes his mind and suggests an alternative? Because he says v'hanochem. But the correct pshat is, notice I add the word but, you know, v'hanochem, but the correct pshat is not that pshat. Why? Ki al kol ha-Torah ye'omer kol ha-mitzvah sharanochi mitzav chayom. It doesn't say in the pasuk kol ha-mitzvah, but rather it says ha-mitzvah. The Ramban is now arguing against his first pshat, and he says that if you accept my first pshat, then instead of ha-mitzvah, it should have said kol ha-mitzvah. In other words, whenever in the Torah wants to use some sort of collective noun to refer to all the commandments of the Torah, it always says kol ha-mitzvah. It would never say ha-mitzvah. So the Ramban therefore concludes that we have to find another interpretation of this pasuk that says ki a mitzvah hazos. What does that mean, ki a mitzvah hazos? It cannot refer to all of the mitzvahs. And by the way, it's very interesting. If you accept the Ramban's first pshat, then the word hayom is very miduyak here. It says ki amitzah zos asher anochi litzavcha hayom. Hayom, you know, sometimes the word hayom means today. Here it doesn't mean literally today, it means during the entire period of time of hayom, since Moshe Rabbeinu began Sefer Dvarim, the purpose of which was to review the entire Torah, and therefore ki ha-mitzvah, according to Ramban's first pshat, is ha-mitzvah refers as a collective noun to the entire Torah, kol ha-Torah kula, and hayom refers to all these days that Moshe Rabbeinu stood at the end of his life and gave a repeat, a synopsis, if you will, or a review of the Torah. But now, according to the Ramban's second pshat, that's no longer viable. And the Ramban rejects his first alternative because it doesn't say kol ha-mitzvah. It says ha-mitzvah. It doesn't say kol ha-mitzvah. Says the Ramban, aval, and quote-unquote ha-mitzvah zos. What does this phrase mean, ha-mitzvah zos? Here in Pasuk Yud-Aleph. Says the Ramban, ala tshuva hanizkeres. It's referring to the mitzvah of tshuva that was mentioned earlier in psukim aleph and beis. Let's go back to those psukim. Ki says the Ramban, vashevosa el levavecha, which is in pasuk aleph, vashevosa el levavecha, and quote v'shavta ad Hashem Elokech, which is in pasuk beis. Number 7. And those two psukim of number 1 Ashivos Elvech, number 2 Shavta Hashem Elkecha, they are, according to Ramban, a mitzvah. So we have a command, even though again it's not written in the form of a command in the strict sense, but it sounds like V'shavta Hashem Elkecha is part of the narrative. It's not an imperative but a narrative. Nevertheless, the Ramban insists that it's a mitzvah. She yitzava osonu lasos, came the Torah, commanding us to do tshuva. And that's not a matter of option, as the Rambam would have it, but it's a matter of obligation and a requirement. V'nemra v'loshen ha-benoni. Now the Ramban uses a very profound Hebrew grammar here to justify the word v'shavta. And that's called a Lashon Beinoni. Lashon Beinoni, he translates it here as neutral terminology. And what is neutral terminology? It's a form that can be constructed and construed as either a command or a narrative. And basically the Ramban is going to argue that the reason why the Torah deliberately uses the Lashon Beinoni is lirmos to allude to the fact that Bavtocha ki osed adover lios, that not only is it a mitzvah, v'shavta, but it's also avtoch, it's also a divine promise that we will in fact do tshuva. That's why the Torah employs the Lashon Beinoni in the word v'shavta.
So, according to the second explanation of the Ramban, what does
Hayom mean? Oh, that's what we're going to get to, okay. So now, at this point, what do we know from the Ramban in the second alternative pshat that we're referring specifically to one mitzvah, but the Torah refers to that mitzvah as a mitzvah insofar as it's a command, but it also uses, back in the original, which is back in Pasuk Beis, v'shavta, which is a Lashon Beinoni. It's not an explicit, you know, Lashon of a command. It doesn't say v'toshuv, it doesn't say v'toshuv, but rather it says v'shavta, in order to also indicate at the same time as a remez that God promises there will be tshuva at the end of time. And the Ramban, by the way, has a long discussion about this divine promise, not here in Parshas Nitzavim, but back in Parshas Vaeschanan in Perek Dalet of Sefer Dvarim, but we're not going to go through that now. Then he says v'tam lemar. Right now he is trying to justify the word lemar, which is in pasuk. Where is the word lemar? I lost it. Pasuk base.
Yud base.
Oh, that makes more sense, right? Lo b'shamayim, etc., etc. Lemar. So, what is that word lemar? Says the Ramban that lemar is referring back to pasuk dalet. Right, the hour dispersed will be at the ends of the heaven. V'ata b'yad ha'amim, and you, meaning the Jewish nation, are thrust into the authority of the Gentile nations. Nevertheless, tuchal lashuv el Hashem, you have the potential to do tshuva, to return to Hashem, v'lasos, and to do kechal asher anochi b'tzavcha hayom. Now the Ramban is adding a justification of Kechol Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Yom in Pasuk Yud Aleph, that the Torah is telling me that Lamar meaning that how is this going to come about, this whole promise of redemption, how is it going to come about? And the answer is that if we'll do tshuva, b'yad ha'amim, even if we are in the nations and under the authority of the nations, nevertheless we still have the potential to do tshuva, kechol asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. And again, here the word hayom means the entire period of time in which Moshe Rabbeinu gave the mitzvahs of the Torah in Sefer Dvarim. And if we now fulfill all those mitzvahs, and we can do so, as the Torah is going to elaborate here in this pasuk, then we will be able to end the galus by doing tshuva and recommitting ourselves to Kol Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom. And why and how are we going to do this tshuva? So the Torah tells us in Pasuk Yudalek, Yein Adover Nifla V'Rachok Mimcha, that it's not hidden from us, it's not distant from you. Repentance is something that might be construed as distant from you, but the answer is, says the pasuk, no, we're not talking about a thing, you know, an object which is very far away. You know, you have to take a plane or you have to take a boat to get to the other side of the world. It's tshuva is something that's not distant from you. It's not physically distant from you. If it was physically distant from you, then you'd have a challenge obtaining access to it. But no, this is accessible to you. And the chiddush is that even though you're under the Gentile sovereignty, and that might obstruct you, nevertheless, you still have the potential to do tshuva. So again, with regard to the mitzvahs of the Torah, on the whole, it may be that some mitzvahs require specific preconditions or objects, and that can only be carried out under specific circumstances. But with regard to tshuva, no matter where you are and when you are, you're always able to do tshuva. And that's the meaning of the words, Aval Karov Elecha Mi'od, etc. La So-so, that tshuva is close to you.
So Hayom means the same in both expressions.
Right. And now, v'zeh atam b'ficha u'bilvavcha. Now we take a look at Pasuk Yudalit. Pasuk Yudalit. And it says, b'ficha u'bilvavcha. What's b'ficha u'bilvavcha? La so-so. Says Ramban, she is vadu es avonav es avonavosam. First I'll recite vidui, and that's called b'ficha. And then v'yashuv el Hashem b'chol levavam, that's called bilvavcha. And what's going to be the essence of tshuva? V'yikablim alem kiyum haTorah l'doros. It's a kabbalah solma cheshvayim. They commit themselves la soso to fulfill the mitzvahs haTorah for all generations. And how do I know it's for all generations? We go back to pasuk beis, and it says ata uvanecha b'chol levavcha, as the Ramban had explained there back in Pasuk Beis. So there's going to be a vidui with their mouths, an oral recitation of vidui. There's going to be a tshuva with their lev, and there's going to be a kabolas kiyum haTorah l'doros, a commitment for all generations to fulfill all the mitzvahs of the Torah, ata uvanecha b'chol levavcha. So in other words, according to Ramban, this pasuk is explicating three different elements: the mouth, the heart, and the action. And that's going to support the Ramban in saying that there's a commandment here, which means the mitzvah of tshuva, the mitzvah of tshuva number one, requires the heart, and it requires action in the sense of commitment, and it requires the mouth in the expression of vidui. So that's the Ramban's understanding. Now at this point we take a little bit of a a section within a section based on the Vilna Gaon. There's a sefer called Pnimim Mishulchan Agra, which is an anthology of different statements that are attributed to the Vilna Gaon. You know, the Vilna Gaon had ingenious insights left, right, and center to the myriads, and not all of them were committed to writing by the Vilna Gaon. In fact, probably a very small minority were actually committed to writing. In any event, in Parashas Ki Teitzeh, where the Torah gives us the mitzvah of Evan Shlema, Eifa Shlema, which means that our weights and scales have to be very precise and very meticulous, is there's a statement here from Rabbi Yitzchok Margolios, who was the head of the Beis Din in one of the districts of Poland, Szczecin, probably called Stutzin, and he says that he heard something from Rabbi Chaim Volozhin. So we're really going back in time, because this Rabbi Yitzchok Margolios lived probably close to 70, 80 years ago, and he's quoting what he heard from Rabbi Yitzchok Margolios in the name of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, who heard something in the name of the Gaon. So we're going back like 2 centuries in time. This is number 9. Ki agra amar shesefer mishne tov merumas b'chol sidra mashiyara b'meya shonim me'elef hashishi. So in other words, there are 10 parshios, if I'm not mistaken, please double check me on that, in Sefer Dvarim, and each one of those parshios reflects one of the various centuries from the beginning of the 6,000, the Elef HaShishi, right? We're up to now 5-7, am I right? So we're in the 7th century of the 6,000, which means that if we want to find out what's going to happen in our century, which is the 20th, the I guess we call it the 21st century, but really it goes by the Hebrew date. So anyway, in this century, which would be the 7th century of the 10 centuries, then we would have to look into the parshios that are being read in Sefer Dvarim at the end of Sefer Dvarim, parshios number 7 and 8, for example. So that would be Nitzavim. Okay, Nitzavim Yelch actually is one parsha, but let's say we would look into parshas Nitzavim Vayelech, assuming that's number 7. What comes after Nitzavim Vayelech? Azinu and Mezosah Bracha. So that our century would, the secret of our century would be in parshios Nitzavim and Vayelech, which would mean if we wanted to go back, let's say, to the 1900s, that means we would go back to Parshas Ki Tavo, which has what? The Klolos, right? And what happened during the 19th century was the greatest Churban to Klal Yisrael in its history, at least in numbers, anyway. That's what the historians claim, that we never lost 6 million Jews. What?
It doesn't go according to the hundreds, does it?
No, it has to do with the Jewish calendar.
Exactly. So it goes up to the year 1840 to 1940.
Right, so 1940, I think, is Tav Shin. And Tav Shin is the end of the previous male. Right, because Tav Shin is the equivalent of 700. Did I get that right? 1 second. Tav is 400, and Shin, Kufrei Shin, is 700. So if we go back 700 years ago, which means 7 parshios ago. Wait, 1 second. I got myself confused. Let's read it inside. I'm sorry. I got up a little bit early today. Let's see if I can work this out. So Shalom Rav Chaim Volozhin, so he asked Rav Chaim Volozhin, I mean, he asked his Rebbe the Gaon, that if you're telling me that we're up to, at that time, Parshas Ki Teitzeh, that's called the Mea Hashishis. Again, somebody will have to calculate this, but I think Parshas Ki Teitzeh is the 6th Parsha in Sefer Dvarim, and that was at the time of Rav Chaim Volozhin. So he says, where will I find something that would be relevant to me in that parasha? And the Gaon, without even thinking, opened up to this pasuk in Parshas Ki Tetzeh, which says Evan Shlema. And he says that Evan Shlema is a remez for Elio ben Shlomo. And why is that? Because the Aleph of Evan is Eliyahu, and then it says Beis Nun of Evan, which is Ben, and he's the Ben to Shlomo. And that would be the name of the Gaon. The Gaon's name was Elio ben Shlomo. Now, did the Gaon give an answer to Reb Chaim to find Reb Chaim's name in the parasha? That we don't know. We're not sure about this. But here I want you to turn to page 2 and let's see if we can figure out the Shoah. I got a little bit messed up with the mathematics here. Let's see if we can work this out. He says that Parshas Nitzavim is going to correspond insofar as it is the 7th Parsha in the 7th century of the 6,000th. So that's 5-7. Right, so we're up to 5777. So if we go back 77 years, can somebody tell me what that would be?
5-7-1940.
And that would be 1940. So if we go back, yes, if we go back in time 77 years, we're going back to the 7th parasha, because that's already the beginning of the 7th mayor of the 6,000. And that's going to be Parshas Nitzavim, and that should have a remez to the Shoah.
Really?
Right, because again, we're going back to the beginning of Tafshin, which is 1939, 1940. Again, I'm not working at all the exact math, because I don't have time for that, but you'll have to trust him on this. And take a look in Parshas Nitzavim, and he says the following, Hovinim Sheches Litocha Me'ashminis. So we're starting with the 7th, and we're spilling over into the 8th, because again, 1940 would be the beginning of the 7th, and then we're going on into the 8th, again according to the Hebrew calendar. Therefore, Parshas Nitzavim has the pasuk of, let me see, Al Pi Skiras Mechashev. Wow, he went through the parsha with a scanner, a computer. And he says, Pasuk He, the 5th Pasuk of Nitzavim, he says, parallels the year Tafshin Aleph.
What does that mean?
In other words, he's saying that if you calculate from the beginning of the Torah, you'll find that there's a specific Pasuk in the Torah that is number 5,000. And what verse is the 5,000th pasuk in the Torah? That's the pasuk that says, "Vayichar af Hashem ba'aretz ahi lahavi oles kolak lolak suva b'sefer hazeh." And that pasuk, according to this calculation, corresponds to the year Tafshin Aleph, which is either 1939 or 1940. I forget exactly. 1940, because otherwise it would be
41.
Or 41, I guess. And, oh, Daniil, I have to apologize to you because it's not on the schedule, but Tuesday's the only day that I start at 12 noon. So I apologize.
Different shiur.
Yeah, the 11:45 shiur only on one day of the week takes place at 12 noon. We have to send out an email. The reason for that is I teach Chumash on Tuesday, so I apologize. So he says that, what does it mean, HaKlolak Suvav Sefer Hazeh, if that corresponds to the years 1940-1941, Liminyanim, again you have to know the Hebrew calendar, the English calendar, that already gives us Parshas Kisavo, right, the end of Parshas Kisavo, which is Klola, and that's going to be a remez for the Klola. Now take a look at some of the Klolas over here, Parshas Kitovo, if that parallels those years. He says, the pasuk says, "Vayitshem Hashem me'al admosam bi'af ubechema ubeketzef gadol, vayishalcham el eretz acheres kayom." And he wants to say that the words Vaishalchem, that word, you know, that he threw them out, is a reference to the tracks, the cars, you know, that brought the Jews to their destruction. And these are called the Rakavot, Lahavaras Hashvuyim, Lamachtas Hashmada, Poland, and all other countries. And then it's unbelievable, he says that the letter Lamed in the word Vayishalcham is written larger than the rest of the letters, according to the Mesorah, in the, you know, you take out a tikkun, you can look this up. And the Torah is, what are you saying? Vayashlichem. And the Lamed here is telling you that this is going to be a total Hashlacha. Hashlacha means when you take something from a high point and you throw it all the way to the bottom point. This is the gematria of Hapitarona Sofi. Now here I think he's playing a little bit with it, but this is a stretch. And he says that the final solution took place in Vayishalchem, or Vayashlichem, because that's the same gematria. And we're now up to Pasuk Hey, which is Tafshin Gimel, which corresponds to the Pasuk HaNistaros LaShem Elokeinu VaNiglos Lonu VeNirad Olam Lasas Kol Divrei HaTorah Zos. And this is a remez to the fact that the Shoah, the Holocaust, and all its reasons is Nistar. In other words, we don't have any way of understanding of human rational comprehension regarding the Shoah. Okay. In any event, Rabbi Osef, if you have time, because we're running pretty low on time, you'll go through this. It's a pretty interesting piece. It turns out that...
Just explain briefly what he's trying to say.
He's trying to say that if you look in the Torah based on the Vilna Gaon, you will find a remez, you'll find an allusion to the events that took place in the years 1940 to 1945, the years of the Shoah. That's just in a single line. Now we're going to take a look at the Mishnas Yavetz over here, Venira number 12, Bedas HaRambam, that Kol HaNaviim Kulam Tzivah Al HaTshuvah Yisrael Negolam HaTshuvah, etc., etc. He says what we see from this Rambam is the Pasuk V'Shavta HaShem Elokech is not a mitzvah, but rather it's avtocha, that at the end Kol Yisrael will do tshuva. And that's why the Rambam never says that tshuva is a mitzvah. Why? Because there are two concepts that are mutually exclusive, that can never be reconciled. You cannot count something as a mitzvah and then guarantee that will be fulfilled. Because the definition of a mitzvah means that it may be fulfilled, it may not be fulfilled. And if at some point in time that mitzvah will definitely, absolutely be fulfilled, then at least during that period of time it's no longer a mitzvah. Meaning, you can tell me that I have freedom of choice now, and that's called a mitzvah, whether I want to do tshuva or I don't want to do tshuva. But what's going to happen when we get to the point in time when the geula has to take place and Hashem promises that there's going to be tshuva? And that makes tshuva at that particular moment in history a davar hamuchrach lava. It definitely will happen. And therefore, if tshuva at some point in time, according to the Rambam, will definitely happen, the Rambam has now boxed himself out of the possibility of classifying, defining tshuva as a mitzvah. Sharei klalu b'chol ha-mitzvahs. With regard to any mitzvah, whether it's a mitzvah seh or mitzvahs lo saseh, that every man has the freedom of choice to decide whether he wants to fulfill the mitzvah or he doesn't want to fulfill the mitzvah. And that's the Rambam Perek Hey of Hilchos Tshuva. Now we're moving on to the left column. Ulefi zel adas haRambam shatshuvi davar shemuchach lava. At some point in history, at the end of our galus, there will be tshuva, and that's undeniable. Is therefore muchrachim lasos tshuva. It's a compulsory tshuva. It's not a freedom tshuva. And if that be the case, then with regard to tshuva, you can never say davar zeh tamid, please underline the word tamid, biyad ha'adam. It's always going to be a mitzvah that's in the hands of man. Now, if you have a mitzvah that could be a mitzvah during certain periods of time, but it cannot be a mitzvah during other periods of time, then that disqualifies it from the tariag. It cannot be a mitzvah counted in the 613, because that makes it into a mitzvah l'sha and not a mitzvah lidoros. So for example, if I were to tell you that at a certain period of time there's no mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash, that makes it into a mitzvah l'shah. But the Rambam does count building the Beis HaMikdash, because even though at certain periods of time there's no mitzvah, but ultimately at the end of the days there will be a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, I'm not, that's a tangent I shouldn't have even mentioned. But in any event, he says the following: Lo yitochen sha'ad sof galusam tiyat tshuva mitzvah say. You cannot say that tshuva will be a mitzvah say up until a certain point in Jewish history. Because up until that point it's given to human freedom, but at that point and on, b'sof galusam uchrochim, it's a hechrek, and there's no freedom. No, then by definition, if you're presenting that thesis, then it's not a mitzvah say. Because if it's a mitzvah say, it has to be a mitzvah say l'chol adoros, l'chol azmanim. That's based on a sugya in Masechta Chulin, but the Rambam codifies that in his Klolim, in his Shroshim, at the beginning of Sefer HaMitzvahs, that every mitzvah has to be a mitzvah for all doros, for all generations. If you have a period of time in the doros, whenever that dor is, even at the end of time, that mitzvah becomes inapplicable. It can no longer be counted in the Tariyah. And therefore, and this is also, you'll see this, he says in the Rambam in Hilchus Megillah, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Aleph. Okay, that's a more complicated discussion about a statement in Chazal, which the Rambam codifies in Hilchus Megillah, that there's one Moed, one holiday that will continue even after Mashiach's time, and that's Purim. Okay, we have to see what that means. That has to be interpreted. But he says, Im HaTshuva, he mitzvahs HaSei Shal Torah, then it has to be Mesura B'yad Kol Adam, L'kaimo, Lo L'kaimo, for all Doros, like all the other mitzvahs HaTorah. And with regard to the mitzvah of Tshuva, at some point in time, it will definitely be a Hechrech, and it's got to happen. Is Memela at that door, it's no longer given B'yad Adam, whether he wants to do Tshuva, he doesn't want to do Tshuva. It's not a matter of freedom of choice. Is Kaimon Doladas HaRambam, Tshuva he davar shemukrach lovo, that must happen. Lefichach he lo bechal mitzvah say, cannot be counted amongst the mitzvah say, and therefore we fall back to the Rambam's original position in Perek Aleph Milchas Tshuva, that the mitzvah is not tshuva, but rather it's vidui. So this is a very beautiful presentation to explain why the Rambam was committed to the position that tshuva is not a mitzvah to be counted in Taryag, and therefore the Rambam substituted instead the mitzvah of vidu. Now, we're running out of time. I'll just want to point out what we could do if we had another meeting this week, and that is the Rambam in Perek Hey Milchus Tshuva speaks about Bechira Chafsh's freedom of choice. And it's fascinating to analyze why the Rambam decided, of all places in his magnum opus, on codifying all the mitzvah Torah, where did he find it appropriate to discuss and present the concept of freedom of choice, dafka in Hilchus Tshuva. And that makes sense, because now we're saying that Tshuva is a matter of freedom of choice up until a certain point when there's a hechrech. So that's going to be part of this discussion. And then we have a discussion here on page 3, if you have a chance to look at it, based on a different Rambam, and that's the Rambam in Perek Vav Halacha He. That's number 15. But if you look at number 14, that's more or less a review of what we've done until now, that the Rambam certainly holds that there's no mitzvah of tshuva. But from Perek Vav and on, we have a different discussion, and that's about the Nevi'im themselves and how the Nevi'im brought the people of Israel and will bring the people of Israel to do tshuva. And if you look quickly, because this will have to end it for today, number 16, the Kesef Mishnah says in Perek Zion of Hilchus Tshuva, Ein Yisrael Negolim Ela B'tshuva, is the Perek Yom HaKippurim, the source for the Rambam, is at the end of Masechta Yoma, it says, G'dola Tshuva Shemekareves Es HaGeula. The greatness of Tshuva is that it will bring us close to the Geula. And the Rambam took this one step further. He said, not only will it bring us closer to the Geula, but it's a necessary step and a precondition to Geula. So Yehiratzah, we have to end always with the tefillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring us immediately to that day in which all of Klal Yisrael as a collective entity will do tshuva. That's the pasuk in Parshas Nitzav Veshavta Ad Hashem Elokecha, and then Veshav Vekibetzku Kol Amim. Then there'll be the gathering of the exiles. In the meantime, those of us who came here, we're already here. You know, we got the real estate. So when they come, and they're going to be gathered, they're going to have to pay. They're going to have to pay more for real estate than what we pay. We'll have to pay mashevach if we want to sell anything. But that's the government will always get you on taxes. But at least we're here, and we have become part of that process of kibbutz goliyos. And we hope to see the fruition and the completion of that process. Bimheira v'yameinu.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.